Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Back for another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, it is sincerely appreciated. Plus, also as well, our good friends at Lakerholics.com. And, of course, all the shows that you can catch right now at the Hoopheads Podcast Network and support one of their kind of latest sponsors, Manscaped. Because Manscaped.com is working out a deal with the Hoopheads Podcast Network for a limited time only. And you can get a 20% discount on anything at Manscaped.com. Plus, free shipping with the code FASTBREAK, all one word. That's FastBreak at Manscaped.com. And here today is a fellow diehard Lakers fan and a good friend of mine and a guy who wanted to come back on this show. I'm glad to have him back. He's a good man indeed. You got to catch him first on Twitter because he needs to get 1,000 followers by draft night. That's his goal, and we got to help him get there. It is at @report_court. That's at @report_court. It is Stone Hansen from DraftSide.com, who's also the co-host of the Upside Swings podcast. If you haven't caught it yet, it's a great podcast that you got to check out if you are an NBA draft aficionado, wherever you get your podcasts. It is Stone Hansen. And Stone, great to have you back, my friend. I'm sorry. I wish it was under better circumstances, but at least you will be part of the 300th episode extravaganza.
I'm honored to be part of that extravaganza. I wish the Lakers were doing everything to win as a part of that extravaganza, but not so.
Not so right now yet, but we will wait and see what happens. Again, a lot is reliant right now on the health of Anthony Davis. Do you have any thoughts on it before we get into some other stuff in regards to what's going on in the NBA with the latest on the Celtics, which is always kind of funny to see. When some bad things happen to the Celtics, as Lakers fans, we always like that. And then also the NBA draft. But do you have any thoughts on what's going on with the Lakers and what maybe they can do to do a quick fix on it?
It's really dependent upon health at this point. Without Anthony Davis, it's pretty grim days in LA. I think the Suns kind of figured out their game plan by blocking off LeBron in the paint. Without Anthony Davis to sort of negate that on the other end, it's really difficult for them. So I think it all hinges on Anthony Davis at this point.
I agree with you on that. I mean, it's pretty easy to see that Anthony Davis changes the dynamic of the whole series. But there's another organization that's experiencing even more trouble than the Lakers right now, and that is the Boston Celtics. Something that I could see coming quite a bit of ways away. And I had said that Danny Ainge, in regards to the way he's handled the front office over the past few years, hit on a couple good picks, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And obviously that's a cornerstone to build around, but he's had the advantage of having an extraordinary amount of picks over the past few years. And there's been some times where he could have pulled off trades that would have gotten the team in a better position, could have kept some players that could have also put him in a better position, but chose not to do that as well. And his poor decisions has led to the Celtics being ousted rather easily in the first round against the Brooklyn Nets in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And this has led to him, I guess, contemplating retirement and ultimately deciding to retire today. And so I want to hear your thoughts on Danny Ainge leaving. Does this surprise you? Do you think this is more off performance, or do you think this is something that a lot of pressure maybe from ownership and putting Brad Stevens in charge of the future of the direction of the franchise going forward?
I think the timing is more surprising than anything, having just being exited out of the playoffs. Maybe they would have thought this over a little bit longer towards more of the offseason. But I guess it's a good play to do it now, so they have everything in place to have a good offseason, hopefully, for them. I think a lot of people were kind of expecting this at some point, just because Danny Ainge has faltered at some of those bigger moves, hasn't pulled the trigger and sort of maximized the roster around Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, guys who are still young but are ready to contribute now. And I don't think he's really done the most that he could to put the best roster around those two guys. Brad Stevens is interesting. I think he's shown on the court his IQ with basketball. He's a really smart basketball mind. I have pretty high hopes for him in terms of being the president of basketball operations over there. I think he's someone who understands probably he's more in tune, I would say, maybe with players, able to connect with them easier and better. Obviously, Danny Ainge had some comments that rubbed people the wrong way last week. So I think some of that may have played a part into the organization pressuring him out. It's hard to say without any intel or anything. But yeah, it's interesting. I guess the move now is looking towards who's going to be their head coach to replace Brad Stevens. So there's a lot of names out there, and it should be interesting.
Plus also what changes they need to make to the roster, because I think some drastic moves need to be made in regards to that. I think a team that once found itself just a game away from the NBA Finals has fallen on hard times. So we'll see what happens there. And again, obviously getting Jaylen Brown back to health is a big thing for them. But yes, this is something that, you know, if you were on the inside, or at least you could see from the outside, you could see coming, because, you know, just the amount of picks they had over the years. I mean, they had at one time I don't want to say an Oklahoma City treasure trove, but it was more substantial at one time than anybody else in the NBA.
Yeah, for sure. They had a lot of picks and a lot of juicy picks too, high up there. And they probably could have done a lot more with them. But instead they're stuck with this team. Not that it's a bad team to be stuck with per se, because they have some building blocks with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. You still have Kemba Walker. However, the league values him at this point. Marcus Smart, still a really big asset. So they still have some pieces there. It's not like they're, you know, totally barren in terms of assets, but there's some work to be done in Boston if they want to go back to contention.
Absolutely. There's going to be a lot more that needs to be done there, but that's going to be interesting to see. In fact, I want to dedicate shows to what the other teams around the league are going to be doing over the course of the summer. Once again, I've got Stone Hansen. You got to check out what he does at draftsite.com with his amazing mock drafts. I know it's coming to that season, my friend. I know Michael Weisenberg, also a great guest of the show. And of course, my good friend as well, Mr. Rafael Barlow, who is probably somewhere on planet Earth right now preparing for the draft, because he's one place, and then he's in another, and then he's in another, and then he's in another. But he's also doing his show, the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. So I'm going to go ahead and make sure that I check all you guys out on all the great stuff you do. But it is the NBA Draft. I know we've been talking about it for a while, and I've got actually a top 30 in place myself. I'm thinking about whether or not to debut it before or after the lottery, or just wait for it. I've got it ready, but I wanted to go ahead and talk to you about who you've got right now. And I see what's going on with your mock draft, and I want to ask you this. Davion Mitchell, I'll start off with him before we get into some surprises or who's rising up the chart. Davion Mitchell seems to be someone that initially, when Baylor won its national championship, he skyrocketed. And he skyrocketed. I saw him all over the place in a top seven, top, you know, six, top seven right there for you, right behind Jonathan Kuminga. And it seems in recent weeks he has fallen a little bit. You know, he's still a lottery per se, but he's fallen to around the 9 to 12 to 13 spot. So I want to hear your thoughts on why that could be. Have a lot of experts such as yourself taken a second look at him? Have, you know, are you hearing this intel from scouts, NBA scouts that are saying, whoa, maybe he doesn't have as much potential. Maybe some other players have risen up really sharply ahead of him. I want to hear your thoughts on Davion Mitchell, again, coming off that extreme high of the NCAA championship.
Yeah, I think, like you mentioned, just that initial NCAA championship bump probably played a part in him moving up boards. That seems to happen pretty much every year. Guys that win the championship, they see a slight increase in their stock, the draft stock. And, you know, after that sort of high fizzles out, and then guys tend to drop a little bit. Davion Mitchell is someone I personally was never that high on, at least having him in the 6-7 range or anything like that. Right now, he's probably slated, like you said, to go in the back half of the lottery in that maybe 9 to 14 range, maybe even a little bit after, depending on where the picks fall and who's picked where. I think, yeah, he's someone that also age probably plays a factor in it too. People start, a lot of lottery teams tend to go for youth and upside, and Davion Mitchell, although some people may view him having some upside at his age, there's probably a little bit more concern with that. How much higher of a draft stock can he get at age 22? How much potential is really there? So questions like that start to play a part for teams. And there's also, it's a pretty heavy guard draft too. So it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out, because there's players like Josh Giddey that have risen as well. So teams that are in need of guards, maybe obviously much different players, but both in that guard position, teams that are looking for that guard may start to have him slip down a little bit just because there's other guys with higher upside.
Now, what are your thoughts on Josh Giddey? I mean, at first, people were really buying into his passing skills and the way he could coordinate on the floor. Plus, he has great size for someone who people project is playing the point guard, although I'm not 100% convinced that he's going to be able to succeed as a point guard at the next level. He is 6'8". He is a little bit higher on your list now. I think he's actually right in the range, right at the beginning where people project him at, in the 12 to 20 range. I've got him closer to the 18-19 area personally, because I think that there's some, there's some question marks for me in regards to his shot, his athleticism. And it's more than what I had on Luka. Luka, I could see, you know, there are people talking about his athleticism, his speed, could he do it, whatnot. But I just thought that he had a more commanding presence when he was playing, and the footage that I had seen for quite a bit before he was drafted. So I know people are trying to relate some of his game to him. I don't see as much of that as I do, and that's why I think I'm probably seeing him a little bit lower than you do. But I want to hear your thoughts on Josh Giddey. Do you think he can go ahead and succeed at that level?
Yeah. With Josh Giddey, I have him slated at number 12 on my mock draft. On my own big board, I would have him probably in the 15 to 18 range, somewhere in there.
You think people are going to buy into the hype? You think these teams are going to buy into the hype?
I do. Guys with elite passing, such as Giddey, and at his size, are pretty rare. So that combination alone is going to get him a lot of looks higher up, I think. Probably biggest difference between him and Luka is obviously just the success they had at levels before the NBA. Like, Luka was already a EuroLeague MVP at age 18.
Yeah.
So I had already won two EuroLeague championships. So the success level there, just in terms of what they had accomplished before making the NBA, was a pretty massive difference and indicator, I think. The other difference probably being the shooting. It was already like a polished and just great shot maker already at that age. Where Giddey has a lot of concern shooting wise. As elite as a passer as he is, and he is, and that size really helps create advantages for him. But the shooting has a lot of concerns. I personally buy into it as being at least serviceable at the next level. A guy who can maybe be a 35% type shooter on decent volume. But shooting and defense, which is weird considering his size, but defense is also a concern for a lot of people. He moves very slowly, and he probably has some more strength to gain. He has a good frame for that, though. So there's questions with Giddy. That's probably why I'm not as high on him as NBA teams I would expect to be are. But there's definitely a lot of intrigue there. And elite passing in that size, that combination doesn't really come around too often.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
I know you've been hearing about Manscaped on all those other programs and podcasts. Well, Manscaped and the Hoopheads Podcast Network are working together on something fantastic. And oh my goodness, have we got a deal for you. Manscaped.com has just released their wireless, waterproof, and rechargeable Lawnmower 4.0, which offers their trademark skin-safe replaceable blades that gets you the ultra-close shave exactly where you need it. Head on over to Manscaped.com and choose from the huge list of men's grooming and lifestyle products, including the ultra-popular Lawnmower 4.0 body groomer, and get 20% off at Manscaped, plus free shipping with the promo code FASTBREAK at Manscaped.com. That's right, just type in FASTBREAK, all one word at checkout, at Manscaped, and get ready to start looking good this summer from your friends at Manscaped, the Hoopheads Podcast Network, and the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.
International-wise, I still want to stick with one more, and that's Alperen Sengun, who seems to be a favorite for a lot of individual scouts and experts out there. I know Rafael Barlow has him high on his list as possibly being the best international prospect at this time. And I'm on the fence between him or Giddy in regards to who is the best. Alperen Sengun is going to be someone who, if he succeeds, he's going to have to succeed as a small ball center. I think that maybe as a four at times, but I don't think he's going to be a space four per se. I think he's going to have to be your small ball five, maybe coming off the bench or even as your starting five. I want to hear your thoughts on Alperen. Do you think he's going to be able to succeed at the next level as a small ball five that is going to be a mainstay there? I mean, his hustle and drive and his motor is not in question. I'm just thinking that his size issue may hold him back.
Yeah, so Sengun is pretty interesting. There's people that are either super high on him. I've seen him as high as like number 8 or 7 on people's big boards. And people that are really low on him as far as the late 20s, early 30s. And I seem to fall kind of more towards the latter just because I really do like Sengun. I like his play style. He's probably one of the most polished skill guys in this draft. He's just really good at what he does. But my issue with him is what he does is sort of outdated for today's game. The shooting, he has a really slow release, strong base, and it takes a long time for him to get that shot up. Some people buy him being able to shoot off the dribble. I don't. It's too slow. He has a great handle, but the problem is it's very slow, and I don't see how functional it's going to be in the NBA. He's probably the most skilled post guy in this draft, too. Just a ton of great post moves. The footwork is great. The problem is it's all in the post. All of his game is predicated in the post. So it's very difficult to see what that value is, especially if you don't buy the spacing or anything. Defensively, he's okay as a rim protector, I think. Some people probably buy that more than I do. But he's a guy that you don't really want switching or coming outside of the paint. And that sort of hurts his value too, in my opinion. Bigs that aren't able to switch, you see the value of them. A guy like Bam Adebayo or Nick Claxton, guys who are kind of able to seamlessly switch onto guards and wings. That's something that's never really going to be in play with Sengun. But he's decent enough as a rim protector. He has good verticality. The wingspan is in question. There's different reports as to how big it actually is. I've seen anywhere from 6'10 to 7'2, so that'll be a big answer, hopefully, in the combine. He's really good at what he does, but the problem for me is what he does doesn't really fit in today's mold of the NBA.
And that's something that has got to be in question with any of the big guys, and that's why it's become such a wing and guard-heavy draft. In regards to that, because there's a lot of issues with some of the big guys. I know that Greg Brown is only in the first round, in my opinion, because of his extreme athleticism. I'm not sure exactly what else he brings, but he brings extreme athleticism, and that's part of the deal. I mean, that's why he's still there as a big guy, and Kai Jones, and Kai Jones could potentially be someone that could be, that shooting five from distance that can still do a lot of rim running. I'm not as sold on it as a lot of other people as far as the distance shooting is concerned. As a rim runner, absolutely. But again, we're seeing that take place where you can get someone at 7 feet that can do those things probably a little bit later in the draft. If not, you can pick them up off the free agency market and do almost as well as that. I don't see any big men in this year's draft really able to go ahead and move the needle. And that's something I think that we're lacking on in this year's draft.
Yeah. I mean, Evan Mobley is probably the mainstay for most people.
Him notwithstanding, my opponent.
Yeah. I buy Kai Jones like a lot. I'm probably the biggest Kai Jones fan there is. I just really love his skill set. He shows a lot of flashes of being able to switch onto the perimeter. I buy the shooting as at least being a spot up guy. He'll never take anybody off the dribble or anything, but being a spot up guy, I buy the shot and the mechanics and everything.
Do you buy it all the way out to three, or is it just going to be something that's going to be a 10, 12 to 15 footer?
No, I buy him out to three. I think it's going to be a project, though. It's not going to be there immediately. His rookie year or anything, maybe 2 or 3 years out down the line. I really like his shot blocking, his timing. He has really great timing on the blocking shots. And I don't think he's really one of those guys that, like a Hassan Whiteside maybe, that tends to hunt shot blocking where it sacrifices defense in other areas. And he has pretty good vision and handle for his size too. That's something that you don't really see with a lot of big guys. But he's able to kind of run the fast break and transition and do things that most big guys can't. So just that skill set alone is really intriguing to me. And the way I kind of view the draft is guys who have a lot of variables, who have a lot of paths to success, I tend to buy more than a guy who just has like sort of one path to success. And if that doesn't work out, then, kind of tough luck. So guys that have a lot of ways to be able to provide value to a team is something I look for. And with Kai Jones, I buy that.
With Evan Mobley, I agree with you that him, and then if you're saying Kai Jones as well, I'm just worried about how far can he stretch out. If he can stretch out, obviously he has the athleticism to succeed. And then after that, it's kind of dry as far as the big men are concerned that really going to play a substantial amount or be effective, like we're seeing in the playoffs, where you can literally just play a big man off the floor if they're not able to go ahead and do the things that they need to on defense and offense. But Evan Mobley, I just wish I'd see more aggression from him. I know that during the course of the NCAA tournament, I know there were some issues and concerns. I think that had he been more aggressive, they could have had a better chance against Gonzaga in that first half. I know that's something that I was kind of down upon, but again, the talent's there and the ability to go ahead and do so many things. I agree with you on that. And the more that you're able to do, the higher you should go in the draft. But speaking of rising in the draft, before we head on out, I got to go ahead and ask you about some of your risers in the draft as far as it's concerned. Some of the people that have caught your eye in recent weeks that you think maybe now that I give it a second chance, and of course, with everybody that does drafts like you do, a third chance, a fourth chance, and so forth, that you see rising up on the charts as individuals that could be on NBA draft day, individuals that people need to keep an eye on.
Yeah, so for probably the top end of the draft, I've really risen on Scottie Barnes as of late. I went back and watched, like you said, a third, fourth time, some games on him. Pre-draft, I was really high on him. I had him top five. And I sort of faltered on that a bit throughout the season. But when I went back and looked, there's just a lot to like there. Generally, I value shooting a lot for a prospect. If you can't shoot, then I'm generally going to be lower on you as a prospect. But with Scottie Barnes, I kind of threw my philosophy out the window with that because he provides so much value in other areas. He has a really unique combination skill set of just being able to handle and pass the ball at a really high level for a guy his size and defend possibly 1 through 5 in the future, which is something that is also super valuable. He's super strong for his age too. He's already developed. He's got an NBA body that's ready to go. So there's just a lot to like with Scottie Barnes. He's athletic, but he uses his athleticism in ways other than just run and jump. So there's a lot in the top end of the draft. A lot of top end teams, I think, are going to be looking at him. Guys towards sort of the middle of the draft, I'm really high on Jared Butler. there's some concerns I know with he has a heart condition, and that's why it took him to like the very last second to declare. So hopefully everything's okay with that stuff. Medicals at the combine will come out okay for him. But he's a guy who I think can provide both immediate value to a team and has some upside as well. He's got really elite handle. He's a strong guard. He's able to get his own shot, especially in isolation. One of the better isolation guards in this draft, I think. So I'm pretty high on Jared Butler relative to most people as well. And then towards the end of the draft, maybe more so in like the Lakers range, a guy I'm really high on, and I know a lot of people on like draft Twitter are high on, is Vrend Blindberg, another international guy who at 6'10 is able to handle and pass the ball. Again, just another unique archetype in combination that you don't really see too often. He's able to space the floor. Defensively is probably the biggest concern for him. But
his size, I mean, you talk about 6'10", but he has those, how shall I say very nicely, those Pokuševski type of concerns, I think is probably the best way to say it.
Yeah, he does. He's definitely very slim. I would probably not quite as slim as Pokuševski because he's like very, very, very slim. The thing with Vrends too is he was like 190 pounds or 170 pounds, excuse me, a couple years ago, and I think he's all the way up to like 210 now. So he's definitely gained a lot of muscle. Leaves room for optimism in terms of his frame being able to bulk up even more than that. So hopefully that'll play a part also in his defense, being able to kind of hold his own maybe against bigger guys, maybe some small ball fives or bigger fours, being a little bit more versatile on that end. But I really like him, and he probably goes in the second round maybe. But if I'm a team, I'm looking at him probably in the mid to late first.
There you go. Absolutely. Could be a Lakers pick. You never know, because we still have our picks. So that's number 22, if I'm not mistaken. So we're hoping for some good things there at that pick, because I think the Lakers need to go ahead and fill out the back end of the roster. Regardless of what happens with the Lakers, that back end of the roster, I think, needs to be better filled with individuals that can provide different things for the team. And if it's a little bit of injection of youth for one of the oldest teams in the NBA, I don't think that's a bad thing, especially when you have a 20-year-old on your team. And if you have a 20-year-old on your team and you're still one of the oldest teams in the league, that means you kind of need to go ahead and put some more youth in there. But again, there's still so much to talk about when it comes to the NBA draft. And that's one thing I want to ask you, and I know a lot of Lakers fans out there want to ask you, is right now, I'm not going to go ahead and put your mock draft any lower than what people see right now, because again, they need to go ahead and check out Draft Site. You just got to just type it in there, draftsite.com. Go to the NBA mock draft section. You'll see Stone Hansen's latest mock draft right there. And I'm just putting it 1 through 7, as you can see on the video screen. But you know, this takes us, and everybody will ask as far as for the Lakers right now. And of course, that far low in the draft, my mock drafts, when I start putting them out there, and your mock drafts, as you continue to put them out there, are probably going to have a different individual each time when it gets to number 22. It's rare that somebody is going to stay at that position each and every time out. But I want to hear your thoughts on who the Lakers should target. I think at that point in time, you're just trying to get the best individual as possible if you're not thinking a trade. You know, as the Lakers love to trade, but I know they can't trade the pick initially. They have to sit on it for a period of time, so they can't, quote unquote, trade that individual right away. They might actually keep the individual, and I think they need to in order to go ahead again to fill out that back end of the roster. But your thoughts on who the Lakers might be thinking of at number 22?
This is a really deep draft, so the Lakers are in good position here to get someone pretty valuable, even though they're picking a little bit lower. There's a plethora of names, honestly. Sharif Cooper is one. I really like Sharif Cooper. And
are you worried about his shooting? Because
Absolutely. I'm more worried about his shooting than anybody else in this draft. I don't think he succeeds shooting with his current mechanics. I think whatever team he goes to, the shooting coach is going to have to completely strip down his shooting motion and mechanics and build from the ground up, because at this point it's really rough. He's really undersized too. He's generously listed at 6 foot, but probably closer to like 5'10". But he has like apart from LaMelo Ball and maybe Luka Doncic, the most elite handle in passing that I've seen since I've started doing this in 2015. He really is an elite passer. He just sees things before they happen. He's able to get the ball to guys that a lot of other people just aren't even capable of making these types of passes. Someone like that, I think, could be really useful for the Lakers, especially when LeBron sits or even when he's playing. It gives him another playmaker, so he's not always carrying that load. Another guy that could probably help the Lakers later on, he's dropped as of late. I'm not sure if he'll drop this far, would be Corey Kispert. Obviously a sharpshooter. You know what he's going to bring. He's a one-trick pony, but what he does at an elite level, and that's being a shooter. Something the Lakers could obviously use next to LeBron and utilize. Someone that I like, as I've mentioned already, the two guys, Kai Jones and Jared Butler, kind of already have talked about them, but Jared Butler gives them another guard. I think the Lakers are probably going to target a guard in this draft just because I think a lot is up in the air with Dennis Schroeder at this point. There's a lot of questions in that specific area for them, and I think being able to lock that down on a cost-controlled player for the next couple of years would benefit them. But if they do decide to go with a center as well, because they already have a lot of centers, but a lot of them could be leaving too, would be Kai Jones, someone that, you know, when AD inevitably gets injured, can sort of fill that role, obviously to a lot lesser of a degree, but being able to at least just put some pressure on opposing opponents' rims, being able to defend outside of the paint more than, say, an Andre Drummond, who can give a little bit more rim protection. That's someone I think they could look at. And then two other last guys I would say would be Trey Murphy III, who's also sort of a sharpshooter like Corey Kispert, but I think offers a little bit more defensive upside as well. He's a little bit different of a shooter as well. Kispert is better off of movement, coming off of pin downs and curls, where Trey Murphy is able to navigate cuts. He's a better cutter, and he's able to navigate screens probably a little bit better as well. So between him and Chris Duarte, another shooter who's also just going to fill that same role as the other two guys I mentioned.
But Duarte, he is 24, but he is going to be ready now. So any team that is going to get him, you're going to get him with not a high ceiling as far as it's concerned. You get him as he is now.
Duarte's old, like super old. He's like, as you mentioned, he'll be 24, and he is going to fill that role immediately, though. I think Duarte's good in terms of just being an immediate impact guy. He's not a guy that I think will fall out of the league by the end of his rookie contract. He's going to be able to hold his value, I think. But you have to kind of know what you're getting into with Duarte. As you said, he has a limited ceiling. There's not a whole lot of untapped potential there with that. But he is going to fill that role from day one, right off the bat. So those are a few guys I would definitely look at for the Lakers. Good variety there, I think. There's a lot of guys in that back end of the draft that could be useful. It's just a matter of kind of what role the Lakers are looking to fill.
Once again, I'm speaking to Stone Hansen. He is the co-host of the Upside Swings podcast. You got to check him, Ryan Davis, and Bryce Hendricks out each week on the Roll Call Sports Network, wherever you get your podcasts, plus also his amazing drafts that he's got each and every time out when he updates his mock drafts at lines.com, at lines.com. I always say draft site, it's in the brain, but if you type in draft site, it's going to migrate over to lines.com. So don't worry about that. It is lines.com. And I'll tell you what, my friend, it's been great having you here. I'm going to actually bring you on again as we get closer and closer to the draft. We still got to get together with Raphael and all the guys, Mikey V and all the guys, to get together on another amazing mock draft. That would be awesome to get, but before we head on out, it's your turn. You got the floor. You got to go ahead and get a chance to plug anything you want. So I give you the floor, my friend. What you need people to check out when it concerns Stone Hansen.
So as you already said, I do my own podcast, Upside Swings. You can find that on Twitter at Upside Swings, and you can check out wherever you get your podcast. We'll be there. Just breaking the draft down more in depth. We're doing a lot of prospect profiles right now where we break down individual players. It's really long and nuanced and in depth. So if you have an hour and a half to kill while you're doing something else, feel free to give us a listen. All my other work, lines.com, as Gerald mentioned, you can find that just at lines.com. And that has my mock draft for 2021. And I just put out a 2022 one as well. And then just solo individual work, you can find at @report_court on Twitter. I'll post all of it there. I have a big board hopefully coming out soon, and then a written piece as well coming out on the draft, hopefully within the next week or two. So yeah, I have a lot of stuff coming up. I'm also doing a couple other guest podcasts draft related as well. So everything I do, you can just find all of it at @report_court.
There you go. Got to follow him on Twitter. He needs 1,000. He's on his way there. He said he needs 1,000 by the NBA draft. And gosh darn it, we need to give him a hand on that. So please support him today at @report_court. It is my good friend, Mr. Stone Hansen, a fellow Lakers fan. We'll see what happens with the Lakers, my friend. But you are here as part of the 300th episode extravaganza. I cannot appreciate you enough and thank you enough for stopping by with your knowledge on the NBA draft. I know, again, it has always, for me, been a pleasure having you on. Now, well over a year you've been stuck with me. So we'll wait and see if you can go ahead and handle more episodes with me. But I'm definitely glad to have you here. Thank you so much to Jamie and Albert for the thumbs up on Facebook. It is truly appreciated. And thanks, everybody, for watching. And for everybody out there that's listening, we truly appreciate it as well. Once again, please support Stone Hansen today at lines.com. That's lines.com right there for you. Plus also as well, his awesome show, Upside Swings. Please go ahead and check that wherever you get your podcasts. Well, Stone, it's been amazing having you here, fellow Lakers fan. We're keeping our fingers crossed for the future of the Lakers franchise, and I cannot thank you enough. And, of course, before the NBA draft hits, you got to come back on right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.
Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off.
It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break. Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. Thank you so much for watching and listening. If you get a chance, give us some support out there and love by giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, or follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, 300 episodes in the books right now. It's just awesome to be here once again. Part of our 300 episode extravaganza per se, but I wanted to go ahead and bring on a special guest for this episode because it's 300. It's a nice big number, and who better than the man who started it all? He is a good man indeed. You got to catch what he's doing on Instagram at Healthy Movement Blueprint on Instagram. It is a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out there on your social media. It is Boomer Parole. And Boomer, great to have you here. Long time no here, but you're the man that started it all in episode one. I wish we were talking under better circumstances now that it's the off season, but I am so glad and so happy to have you here nonetheless.
Absolutely, man. And I got to say, I give you props for wearing that hat today under the circumstances. A lot of people are probably putting their Laker stuff in the closet for a few weeks, but yeah, like you said, you know, it would be nice if it was under different circumstances, but you can't win every year. So this is bound to happen more often than not.
Proudly wear my purple and gold anywhere and anytime I can. You know, I know I'll probably get flack about it, and especially hearing LeBron this, LeBron that over the next few months. But you know what? I'm going to smile because I've got memories of a great 17th World Championship not too long ago.
And I know that their team that they're probably shouting at me at that they really like or really support hasn't won anything anytime recently, most likely. So I'm very supportive of my Lakers team, win or lose, and I'm very happy that they were able to go ahead and win one with LeBron in the bubble and AD when they were healthy. And I think that's a part of the issue there is that they were not healthy and coming back too soon after the end of the season. And you could point to a lot of things on what ifs or whatnots, but of course it didn't end up coming into fruition for us this season. But I will say over the course of the 300 episodes, since I last spoke to you, 299 actually, but since the last time I got a chance to spoke to you, there's been some highs and lows. And I want to ask you those highs and lows for you since we last spoke. I know we talk about, like I said, the championship that they won, which was obviously a real high for you. And Kobe passing away was obviously a real low, low. But I want to hear your thoughts on over the course of the past year plus since we talked, your thoughts on being a Lakers fan during that time.
Yeah, well, look, as you said, of course, we won the title last year or really like what, 6-7 months ago. Or
exactly.
Whatever. Not even a full year. So as frustrating as it is right now, you got to look at that. And it's funny how a lot of the LeBron haters or analysts and, you know, people that weren't in the league or haven't been in the league were talking about how that's a tainted title. It's not as significant, but all the players that were in the bubble were talking about how hard it was to play in the bubble. So you can make a case that that's as special of a title as there's ever been.
Yeah.
So you look at that and, you know, even though this season didn't work out, this past off season, it at least appeared that they were making the right move. So just the off season in general was exciting. The first half before AD's first Achilles injury was a lot of fun to watch. And as a Lakers fan, pretty much since then, it's all been downhill, but there's no doubt about it. Up until three, four months ago, there was nothing to be upset about if you're a Lakers fan. So there's no doubt that there are a lot of positives to look at in this past year, year and a half.
Absolutely. And it's a little bit of negatives. Of course, the disappointing factors that we had to go through over the course of the past year, year and a half. The unfortunate and tragic death of Kobe Bryant. I know that's something that still weighs heavily on the minds of Lakers fans. I haven't had a chance to speak to you yet on this, and I know that day is probably etched in your mind when you first heard the news of Kobe's passing. I'd love to hear your thoughts on how it's affected you since.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely one of those things where, of course, it hits you a little harder if you were a big Kobe fan or Lakers fan, but I think for most people, it's going to be one of those instances where you remember exactly where you were and exactly what you were doing at the time. And I was out to lunch with my mom. I could tell the restaurant I was at. I could tell you the exact table we were sitting at. And my cousin texted me and said Kobe died. And I don't know anyone else named Kobe. So, but still my first reaction was Kobe who? Because you just didn't believe that a guy like that could die, which sounds silly, but he says Kobe Bryant, helicopter crash. And then you first think, oh, it's not true. It's not true. You know, probably one of those fake reports. And then just, you know, over time, the course of the next few hours, you realize once all the rumors settled of who was on the helicopter, you realize it was true. And there's no doubt that first few days were rough. It's like a lot of people that were on television said, I definitely shed a few tears. And then you realize while you're doing it, it's like, man, it's crazy. I never even met this guy and I'm still crying. It just shows the impact that he has had on so many lives. And yeah, you know, it was definitely an intense week or so, but I definitely tried to use that as motivation to help me work harder in life, as I think most people did. Just because that's what most people knew him as, is just not only a competitor, but just someone who was as hard of a worker as you'll ever find. So, you know, just like the season, you always look to find a positive, and the positive was it definitely motivated me. And I still try to use that as motivation to this day to work harder. And especially on those days or those moments where you don't feel like working harder, you just think about him and what he did with his life, and it makes you want to go a little harder.
I want to ask you this, obviously coming off that tragedy and all that summer with the time off because of the coronavirus and the unsurety that we all had as far as seeing if this last season would ever finish and on just basically culminate in some type of finality. And they did announce the bubble. Of course, everybody was very unsure about how it was going to go. What were your thoughts about the bubble itself and the expectations on whether or not it would or would not succeed?
I mean, initially, of course, I was like, oh, this virus spreads so easily and quickly. I don't know how they'll be able to keep it from spreading. All it takes is one person to get it, and then next thing you know, half the league could have it.
Yeah.
My initial thoughts were that it was going to be a tainted title because I figured it was bound to happen where one team was missing a key guy because of COVID. They missed the whole series, but obviously that wasn't the case. And after that first, I think, week and a half or something, 2 weeks of just playing those quote unquote regular season games, I don't think anyone ended up getting the virus. So it went great. As far as what I thought about the games themselves, I didn't really have an opinion on it. I know some people actually liked it more with no crowd. Some people thought it was terrible and didn't want to see it. If anything, I would have liked them to not have the fake crowd noise in there. I think it would be cool to be able to hear the players. I understand why they didn't do that because, of course, in the during the game, you hear probably more curse words than not. So I understand why they didn't do that. But I didn't really have much of an opinion about the games themselves of whether I liked it or not. It's at the end of the day, it's still basketball.
Absolutely. It is just basketball indeed. Once again, I'm speaking to the first original guest that I've ever had on the show, and that is Boomer Peralt. Please go ahead and support him today on Instagram at Healthy Movement Blueprint. Please, if you can, support him there on Instagram. Boomer, I mean, as we went along in the bubble, first off, the Lakers got off to a horrible start of the bubble. They looked absolutely terrible for the eight-game stretch, as it were, leading into the playoffs. And we were very unsure here on the show about the future, what the Lakers would look like at that point in time. Heading into the playoffs, were you confident that the Lakers were going to pull it off? Because you were on the East Coast, and this is one of the things I took most from our conversation originally so long ago, was that you on the East Coast, you almost equated to like you being on an island unto yourself as far as your Lakers fandom is concerned. But leading into that bubble playoff scenario, were you concerned about where the Lakers were at that point in time?
I don't think there's any question that you had to be a little bit concerned. I can't remember exactly, but I do believe in one of those last two games, in those playing games, they played the Clippers, I want to say,
played the Kings, I know, in their last game and looked absolutely awful. Been
the Nuggets then, and they ended up having a tight game, but they came through at the end, which gave you a little bit of hope. But again, they weren't playing well once they got to the bubble. You didn't know if LeBron specifically wanted to be there or not. They were going against a team that everyone was calling the greatest eighth seed of all time in the Portland Trail Blazers. So
yeah,
there's no doubt that you had to be concerned. And then, of course, they lose game one. But after they picked up that game two victory and then game three, then all of a sudden that worry started to go away. And not to jump too far ahead, but you kind of hoped that would be the same situation this year, as they definitely came into the regular season not playing their best basketball over those last few weeks of the season.
And boy, did we start to think that things were going to turn around after game three of this year's playoffs, where the Lakers were starting to fool around and starting to have some fun out there and starting to have that camaraderie. And it just for that one brief moment in that game where we saw the things that we had experienced in the bubble, and we were starting to see the team that we saw in the bubble in that game, and things looked so bright from there. And of course, it all went wrong from there. But going back to the bubble real quick, last question I want to touch on is that ultimately we did know what happened with the Lakers, and they did ultimately beat the Miami Heat in six games. For someone who, again, you are amongst the very few out on the East Coast that support the Lakers so wholeheartedly, How was it for you experiencing that in such a format when the Lakers won that world championship?
It was cool, but obviously I have some basketball NBA fans that are friends, but I don't have a lot of Lakers friends. So you get excited, but there's not necessarily people to celebrate with that you're with. But at the end of the day, you know, it's basketball, it's NBA. So I don't need to celebrate. I get happy and then I move on. So
no screaming in the backyard or anything?
No screaming in the backyard for me. Maybe when I was in high school, but I'm too old for that now.
Fair enough.
No, it was cool though. No doubt about it. And of course, even the friends I have that are NBA fans, it's funny how much of a shift there's been. And really, I think you can attribute it to Golden State's dynasty, but everyone seemed to root against LeBron pre Golden State dynasty. But then since then, it seems like everyone's been rooting for him. So even though I don't have a lot of friends that are Lakers fans, I had a lot of people I knew that were still rooting for him to win.
And going into that, they did come into this season, but the injuries, Solomon Hill rolling up on LeBron James's ankle, which was, I think, a very climactic point for the team. At that point, we were still in a very competitive state. AD, at the time he got hurt, we were just out of first place in the Western Conference, and we're still very high up there, and we're looking to go ahead and rebound and start playing better as a team when that happened. So we saw what happened when the injuries and how well they affected or how much they affected the overall status of that. And that's something that the Lakers ultimately couldn't overcome.
Yeah. So I loved all the moves that they made this offseason. I thought that there was no doubt if you look at that roster, and of course you add Andre Drummond into there midway through, but it was not only a more talented roster than last year, but as deep as a roster talent-wise as you'll find almost any year. My one question was, it's more talented. Is it going to be a better team, though? Last year, they were talented, but they were just such a good team, not only with the chemistry, but just everybody seemed to know their role and fit their role, and we had all the roles covered. This year, it seemed it was just a roster put together of the most talent possible. Still should be good enough to win a title. And but like you said, then AD goes down and then LeBron goes down. And now all of a sudden, not that you will ever have people to pick up the roles of a LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but I think you really started to see that this team was just based off of talent and not as much of a team put together to play together. And you know, once they went down, we just struggled to score so much. The threes that were going down seemed like almost every time they went up in the first month of the season, now we're rarely going down. Obviously, we never got that going.
Yeah.
To the playoffs. It's just the offense, as soon as LeBron went down, even when he came back, just the offense never seemed to look good. It just looked ugly up until last night.
Agreed. Very much agreed. We'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse. My last movie that I saw in the theaters was The Last Skywalker. I know, condolences to me.
Wow, man. Right. I just had talked about that and I completely forgot that I saw that movie.
Yes.
It doesn't speak great things about it, I suppose.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. So I'm going to put you in Rob Pelinka's chair. Okay. I'm going to have you sit down and you're going to meet with everybody and what to target for the off season. So if I put you in Rob Pelinka's shoes, and his paycheck as well. So, you know, we can't do anything without his paycheck. But if I put you in Rob Pelinka's shoes, before we end on out, I want to ask you this. Where would you go with the Lakers? What direction? Because you have still a very small window for LeBron. Sure, you have him contracted for another 3 years, plus AD contracted for another 3 years. But what changes do you think the Lakers need to make? Besides, obviously, with AD and LeBron, they need to get healthy. That's first and foremost, obviously. But what direction do you think that the Lakers should go as far as making some tweaks, changes, or things that are necessary to the roster in order to get things done next season?
Yeah, well, it's definitely going to be tricky because of the cap situation. We don't have much cap room at all, so it's not like you can just go out and sign anyone you want. I think it definitely starts with looking at Schroeder and Drummond. Would I like them back? Sure, but it depends on the price. I believe we offered Schroeder a four-year $20 million or $80 million contract earlier in the year. He said no. Rumors were he was looking for 24. I think he knows after some of the performances he put on this offseason that he's not getting that, and he might even be lucky to get $20 million a year now. So if we could get him back at a team-friendly discount, who knows, maybe after his playoff performance, he knows that he can't get the money. Maybe he signs a one-year deal for $15 again. I'd be happy to take him back at that. Andre Drummond, same thing. I know he wants all-star money, but when you – every other game can't make a bunny shot to save your life. And even though he's not a terrible defender, but he does, of course, struggle a little bit on the perimeter. It's just tough to pay a guy like that the money he's going to want. But if we can get them back at the right price, I'll take them back. It's just there's not going to be a lot of flexibility outside of re-signing the players, the way the cap works, to go out and get, you know, really any big name. Maybe if we can try a sign and trade with Schroeder, but I think re-signing those guys, of course, re-signing Caruso is going to be a big one. One of the most underrated players, in my opinion, in the league. Great guy off the bench. And then, you know, the same things it seems like you say every single year with the Lakers is we need another 3-and-D guy, and we need a primary number three scorer, a guy we can rely on, because we just did not have that this year. Of course, the threes weren't going down, even though we had – it seemed like everyone on the roster could make threes, but just – not for the last few months, but we just did not have a guy who could consistently put the ball in the bucket, especially on their own without needing LeBron to set them up. So if we can try to find that, I don't know where we'll find it with limited cap space, but that's going to be important because whenever Kuzma signed that deal for 13 a year, it seemed like I was like, okay, that's a team-friendly contract. But then the way he played this year, he might have been better overall. His rebounding was solid this year. He was definitely better facilitator, but just scoring wise, you just can't, it just seems like you can't count on him to score, let alone, you know, 18, 20 a game. You can't even rely on him to score 10 points in these games. So he's not going to be the guy. Is Schroeder the guy? He doesn't, his whole career, he hasn't been consistent enough. So you can't rely on him. And there's no one else on this roster really that can, you look at it and say, okay, they can get their own shot. So definitely finding that number three scorer, and again, 3-and-D guy. But I feel like we say that every single offseason. So this season, more than ever, we have limited cap space. The one bright spot is this upcoming year is the final year we have to pay Luol Deng that $5 million.
Yep, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I cannot wait until that comes off the books. And you're right, we're going to have to play some cap gymnastics. KCP, Kyle Kuzma, those are the contracts that we have. There's eight free agents we either want to resign or want to go ahead and let them go and on their own way. So we have to make tough decisions there. Plus, like you said, we need to go ahead and bring additions to the team that are going to help out in those certain spots. But yeah, we cannot thank everyone enough for watching and listening. Once again, it is Boomer Peral. I want to go ahead and check out what he's doing on Instagram at Healthy Movement Blueprint. And thank you so much, Reed, for the thumbs up. We truly appreciate it. But before we head on out, it's your time to plug. Did you want to go ahead and plug what you're doing on Instagram or whatever we want to talk about on that? Because it is your time to shine, my friend. The floor is yours.
I appreciate that. I know the first time I came on episode one, I had a different Instagram. It was for a charity I was running to support mental health. Now, the Healthy Movement Blueprint is my business. I'm an online personal trainer. And I've just been pushing that for the last 6 months or so, even though I've been doing it for a little longer. I no longer run that charity. So, yeah, if anyone out there, whether it's back pain, hip pain, knee pain, or just wants to learn how to move better, both in and out of the gym, that's what I focus on. Not as much the weight loss or muscle gain, but just more the healthy movement aspect of it, hence the name Healthy Movement Blueprint. So whether it's Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, or TikTok even, I'm on. It's a healthy movement blueprint. And you can find me, whether you want to work together, just have any questions, you can reach out and I can definitely try to help you with that.
But once again, Boomer, it's been so great having you on. I'm hoping I'm going to reach this out to you. So I'll put this on you, my friend. I'm hoping it will not be another 300 episodes before I catch up with you again. But I do thank you very much for your time that you've taken today and previously. I look forward to chatting. You know what? I'm going to see you at 400. We'll make a date right now for 400. You come back on. I'll give you plenty of time. We'll hit you up and we'll get you back on the show for 400 because that will probably be in the first part of this upcoming season. So we'll get a chance to go ahead and catch up on your thoughts on how they did over the summer and your thoughts on whether or not the Lakers can go ahead and come back and get that 18th title ahead of Boston or anyone else.
I'm committed to it now. Episode 400. I'm in.
There you go. Awesome indeed. Once again, it's Boomer Peral. Please check out the great work that he does on Instagram at Healthy Movement Blueprint right there for you, please. Or Facebook or any social media. Type in the words Healthy Movement Blueprint, all one word, and it comes right up. It is Boomer Peral. You got to go ahead and check out what he does. And please, if you need any type of physical therapy that really he can go ahead and give you that movement, get going, get that blood pumping. I see it right now, even on his Facebook right now. I'm watching him go back and forth. It's really cool right there for you. But Boomer, I cannot thank you enough for spending time with me on episode 300. I really wanted to make sure that you were here for it because, again, it wouldn't have started without you. You reached out to me after I was inquiring to see if who would come and want to talk Lakers. And I appreciate the conversation then. And I certainly do appreciate the conversation now.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much again. Appreciate it, Boomer. And thank you so much again for being part of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.